The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The airing of this program by this station is not an endorsement or recommendation by the station of the products or services discussed in the program. The station does not guarantee the results of any investments made by a listener to this program.
Josh Pick is the chief investment advisor with Aptus Wealth Management, a state-registered investment advisory firm. This program is sponsored by Aptus Wealth Management. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles discussed should not be considered investment advice or recommendation to buy or sell financial vehicle. This information should not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with professionals to see if any ideas expressed would fit their specific situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Securities can fluctuate and when redeemed may be more or less than when originally invested.
We are glad to have you with us on a Groundhog Day edition of the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show. I'm Bruce Hooley, along with Josh Pick of Aptus Wealth Management, and we have a lot to talk about as we always hit on the current events in the economy and as those headlines play into investing towards your retirement in segment one. We will do that today with the latest jobs report and also another Federal Reserve meeting and rates holding steady. We invite you to join us for the remainder of the hour, or you can hear the replay of the show tomorrow at noon. We thank you for joining us, and we invite you to get to know Josh more than you get to know him through this program by taking advantage of the free consultation that they offer at Aptus Wealth Management. There is no obligation to this consultation. Find out what the Aptus Retirement Blueprint is all about for you as you invest toward retirement, financial independence later on in life, peace of mind, lots of ways to phrase it. My wife and I have it. We are Aptus clients. And I don't do this show because I'm an Aptus client. I did this show for 2.5 years before I was an Aptus client. And I've said many times, Josh never pressured me to come in, never even asked me to come in. So it's not a low pressure environment. It's a no pressure environment, but it's certainly an environment where you will learn a lot about where you are in the retirement process. And I think benefit greatly from it. So take advantage of that free consultation. See if it fits you and your family the way it has fit me and mine. Set up your consultation by calling 614-917-1040, 614-917-1040, or you can make your appointment online, Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. Their offices are located in Lewis Center, just off Route 750. That is not far from the 23-270 interchange. So Josh, welcome in to another week. And we had, I think about a month ago, an optimistic widespread view that the Federal Reserve was signaling that it was going to start reducing interest rates in March. And that was seen as a good thing for the economy because lowering interest rates increases the chances that businesses will borrow money, invest in new facilities, the economy will benefit from interest rates as they lower. But Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell this week came out, and now I think the general consensus nationwide is that a March rate cut is probably not going to happen. Can you explain what he said and why people are drawing that inference from it?
Well, I think we've talked about this a few times in the past, and that this is a very delicate balancing act. On one hand, we want to cut interest rates as an economy for all the reasons you just said. But on the other hand, we don't want to cut interest rates too quickly, because if we do, we could fall back into an inflationary environment, much like we did back in the 1970s and 80s, where we kind of ebbed and flowed this game a little bit before Volcker ended up coming in as a Fed chairman and taking rates really, really high and getting it back under control. But the reason he had to take rates so high back in the 80s is because we got a little overzealous in our forecasts and we rebounded and lowered rates a little too quickly, and it set us back off to the races. So, you know, I think when the market looks at that, we talked about this before, you know, the market kind of has two ways of pricing things: what's actually happened and then what we believe is going to happen. And if you recall back a few months ago, we said, you know, the market is already kind of pricing in the belief that interest rates will in fact be lowered sometime in second quarter of next year, maybe even the tail end of first quarter. And now it looks like that's not actually going to be the case. So the market is reacting yet again in the opposite direction, saying, well, you know, maybe we should pull back the reins a little bit, all the while not having any idea what's actually going to happen, just kind of pontificating or forecasting what's going to happen.
Yeah, we've talked about that a lot, about headlines and the conflicting takeaways from the headlines. In addition to Chairman Powell's comments on Wednesday, we today got the job report, and the jobs report, it seems to me like it's almost always this way, that it comes in hotter than expected, but then that bursts a ton of thoughts about are those real jobs, jobs with benefits, full-time jobs? And then we have some other data, excuse me, that shows that while hourly wages are going up, hours worked weekly are going down. Consumer confidence continues to be a concern. And I thought this quote from Chairman Powell was rather telling. He said, we're really in a risk management mode. He says, it's good news that the U.S. economy had a strong growth last year. We talked about that with GDP growth. But they don't want to lower rates and sort of re-trigger inflation. And inflation was 3.4% in December. They're still not seeing that inflation number at a number that I think would allow them to lower rates without criticism from some sectors.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny, as we look at all of these reports, I think naturally we're inclined to try and make some sort of semblance of understanding of what that gives us in the way of information that we can use and act upon to invest. But a lot of that information, just like you said, is very conflicting. And let's be fair, we have to report on something. So let's just start reporting what could this mean one way or the other. But it kind of makes me remember, you know, this week we sent out, we have a newsletter that we send out. And, you know, it's not something that we hit people with all the time. But one article that we had in our newsletter was an article from the Wall Street Journal talking about the power of ignoring the news towards your investing. And I hate to take this in a weird direction where I say, okay, great, jobs report is good, but what does that really do for us? And I'm certainly not suggesting that you don't listen to the news or that the news don't matter. You shouldn't stop reading, you know, the Wall Street Journal, for example, which is where this article was written. But I am saying that maybe you should quit reacting to the news so abruptly or trying to make semblance or changes in your portfolio. Sometimes it makes sense to just ignore these things and go off of long-term trends. But I think it points again, if we, there's nothing that we can't, that there's nothing to the contrary that says that everything we're looking at today means that our economy is in a very delicate position, both in the way of inflation, interest rates, jobs, productivity, geopolitical risk, the power, the strength of the U.S. dollar and the world currency. There's a lot of things that are facing us today that seem to kind of all be coming to a head. And the big concern is, where does that take us? Are we actually, well, one, are we already in a recession of some kind on Main Street versus Wall Street? Or are we heading there?
Yeah, it is a big mystery. And then, you know, you've sort of alluded, I've alluded to the whole conspiracy theory mindset that is out there in almost everything now that's in the headlines. And then when you fold in the coming presidential election year, we've chatted before about the Fed and is it immune from political pressure? We had Donald Trump this week say that if he wins, he won't reappoint Jerome Powell as Fed chairman. And then I noticed that Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren was really applying the pressure this week that, hey, it's time for the Fed to lower interest rates and you've got to do this to really make the economy take off. And it doesn't seem to me like, here's her quote, interest rates are still too high for many American families who already cannot afford to pay rent or buy their first homes. And she signed this letter with a group of Democratic senators. She said, as the Fed weighs its next steps in the new year, we urge you to consider the effects of your interest rate decisions on the housing market and to reverse the troubling rate hikes that have put affordable housing out of reach for many. Yeah, no pressure there. You've got Donald Trump on one side saying, if I get elected, you're out. And you've got Elizabeth Warren on the other side essentially saying, if you don't do what I want you to do, you're not going to have the support of me and the other people who signed this letter.
Well, and arguably, if you don't do what we want you to do and make the economy look really good, because that's what lowering interest rates would do. In the short run, we would get a spike in the stock market. We would get a spike in the economy, all the things that you would want to have as you're running for re-election so that you can point to it and say, look at this lighthouse, a beacon of hope Everything that we've done that we said we were going to do is now starting to take hold, and look at the economy turning. So you better do that, or clearly Donald Trump's going to fire you as soon as he gets in, which he has a chance of doing unless you raise interest rates. Yeah, I would say that it's politically motivated.
So let's give people the benefit of maybe your assessment of this, as you, representing your clients and as a fiduciary, are always obligated to do by law what is best for them. You cannot be swayed by personal or any political agendas out there, because the law requires you to do what's best for your clients, and your business certainly depends on that. People call your office to set up their free consultation, 614-917-1040, or doing it online at Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. I'm sure they want to know, okay, what's your performance been over time? That's what everybody, I would assume, is interested in evaluating. So as you look, take a long view of all this, Josh, jobs numbers appear to be good. They sometimes get revised down, sometimes not. Fed signaling no rate cut likely coming in March. You see the numbers that average hours worked per week have declined slightly in January. Some economists view that as a signal that, hey, before we cut jobs, we're going to reduce your hours. Unemployment claims are up. When your clients ask you about how they should feel about the coming year, what's your assessment of this, and how do you fold that into the decisions that you make on the base, for the benefit of your clients?
Yeah, we would be naive to say that all of these economic influences don't have an impact on the volatility and the viability of the market in the short run. So, you know, if you're retiring in 6 months, I would say it would be logical to maybe pull back the reins on the stock allocation that you have, depending upon your situation, of course. But the flip side of that is, we're in a really great interest rate environment when it comes to savings, meaning, you know, you can get 5%, north of 5% in a money market. You can get CDs north of 5%. And then if you look at other things like guaranteed fixed annuity rates, you can get 5-year fixed annuity rates up in the mid fives right now. So that's much more attractive than it was even a mere year or two ago. So there's some benefits there. Now, obviously, all of these aren't recommendations. It becomes very important as to what your individual situation looks like. But I guess what I would tell everybody is, if you're invested in the stock market, regardless of how, I don't care if you're an indexed investor, you're a managed account investor, or you buy your own individual stocks, economic conditions can drive a lot of volatility, but they do not drive long-term viability of buying a company. And we really have to look at every time we buy a mutual fund or a stock, which is essentially all a mutual fund is a big basket of stocks. What are we buying? We're buying companies. So if you look at, for example, you know, over the last couple of years, there's this been phenomenon that's really driven the market called the Magnificent Seven. So there's these seven companies that have driven the lion's share of all the returns of the S&P 500. So if there's 500 companies in the S&P 500, that means what are the other 493 doing? Well, not nearly as well as those seven. But if you're looking at the future and saying, okay, well, let's ignore the jobs report, let's ignore political leanings, let's ignore all of that stuff, and let's just look at this as if I was going to buy a company. Let's say I was going to go buy, and I'll pick something random. I got a smoothie this morning. So I walk into the smoothie shop, right? I don't know how much the smoothie shop generates in revenue, but if I was going to buy that smoothie shop, I would have to put employees in there, and then I would hope to, and I would have to pay for all the stuff that's there, and I would hope to get some sort of net return off of it. How many times that net return would I be willing to pay for that shop? Well, obviously, it depends on how long it's been in existence, the stability of the rates of return, et cetera. But ultimately, it would probably be somewhere in the single digit multiple, you know, maybe 3 times, 5 times, 7 times, whatever it might be. Well, the multiple of those Magnificent Seven right now is 29 times on average. Say, well, is that a lot? Because we're talking about companies like Microsoft. So clearly, that's a pretty well-established company with a lot of upside potential, particularly with AI. But how does it compare to the other 493 stocks? Well, they're only trading at 16 times. So if you were looking at a stock and ignoring the economic factors and just looking at the company itself, which one looks a heck of a lot more expensive? Well, obviously those seven, or let's just say Microsoft. So what are things that I can do to reduce my exposure? Well, I'm not saying ignore those Magnificent Seven, but what I am saying is maybe you shouldn't put 50% of your money in them if you're going to retire anytime soon. This is a very subtle adjustment that if you start adding up all of the subtle adjustments you can make, you can drastically reduce the risk of your portfolio without in any way, shape, or form derailing the plans of your retirement, which is really what we're trying to do, unless you just have a ego so big that you just want to see your balance sheet grow as much as possible. The purpose of this money, and every drop of money has to have purpose, is to fund your retirement.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have talked before about that phenomenon that the S&P has been driven by, you know, the tech stocks. NVIDIA had a really good year a year or so ago. Now we see some cooling with these tech stocks. We see some layoffs with these tech stocks. Alphabet, which is essentially Google, it fell 7.5% this week. Microsoft is down. You talked about Microsoft's tie with AI. Tesla is down. There's all kinds of drama going on now with a lawsuit against Elon Musk for the amount of money that he's making as the Tesla CEO. I was kind of amused by that story in that he basically decided to take no money unless he grew the company by some outrageous market share. He grew it from, I think, a $60 billion company into a $650 billion company. And now he's taking the deal that every Tesla shareholder agreed to up front, and the number is a big number, and so people are proposing that. I wouldn't have a problem as a shareholder with my CEO growing my company by a factor of 12, but some people seem to. And these are all complicated issues, and that's why, to me, it makes sense for people to come in to meet with you, to meet with the Aptus team, to talk about these things. Everybody has individual questions. We chatted before about how people may or may not have an aversion to certain investment vehicles. Talk those things out, get answers, get historical data, get facts. And then I think when you go through the blueprint process, you'll have a clear picture of maybe whether your concerns are well-founded, whether they're not. Very easy to set up. All you have to do is call Aptus at 614-917-1040, 614-917-1040. It does not take a big chunk of your time. And it's a process that may lead to you being a client, may lead to you and the Aptus team deciding that you're not a good fit, but you won't know until you take advantage of it. There's no obligation. 614-917-1040, 614-917-1040. You can also set that up online by making your appointment over the web. Their web address is Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. Are we, like Microsoft, you said, Josh, is a firm that's really been, you know, very well established, and you mentioned their tie to AI. That I'm sure is a topic that you have to be aware of with all companies, and not just with individual companies, but with individual sectors out there. It seems to me like there would be some sectors out there that would be vulnerable to AI replacing employees. That might be a good thing for the company, though, because you don't have to pay AI. You have to pay an employee. You don't have to give AI benefits. So those are things that I'm sure you're watching and your other analysts are watching closely, is the impact that AI could have on companies growing in the future. There are a lot of companies that used to be part of the S&P 500 that aren't anymore because modernity priced them out of the market or made the companies go under. So I would assume AI is a big concern as you evaluate companies and as you evaluate the future prospect of companies.
You know, AI is an interesting animal, and it should be because it's so new. But on one hand, we constantly talk about the fear associated with AI. And, I hearken back to the days of watching the first Terminator and all these other things, thinking, you know, is AI going to take over the world and are we just going to live in it? So much so that the person you just talked about, Elon Musk, was meeting with Barack Obama a long time ago, talking about the fears and threats that AI pose. But it doesn't seem to be slowing down the train. And Microsoft and Google and Amazon seem to be large in part leading that train with a lot of help from NVIDIA. But that poses some challenges that seem to be getting swept under the rug beyond just the natural fear of it. Okay, so sure, ChatGPT can write our term papers for us now. But what about my job? Is my job at risk? And the forecast that I've seen is upwards of 25% of all jobs in the United States will be dramatically affected or displaced entirely by AI. The ones being most susceptible seem pretty obvious. You know, if you're in an admin related role and you can essentially program that with something that can learn and talk for itself, think customer service or online customer service, well, then your job's at the most extreme risk. And that was highest on the risk chart, upwards of 40 some percent will be eliminated from AI. And then it kind of goes down the line. What about, you know, financial planning, since here I am talking about it? Will it be affected by AI? Not only in the design of your plan, but also in the management of portfolios it will be involved. So we're not exactly sure what kind of impact that'll have, but I can tell you on a personal front, we've kind of played around with AI as little as saying, well, let's just tell AI to design our emails for us, and how good of a job does it do? And shockingly remarkable, by the way, all the way up to, can we design an algorithm that, like we used to in the past for investing, where we would just simply use something like Excel or build some sort of software program, where now you can build that same program, but it thinks, which is terrifying and exciting. So I don't know exactly what part it's going to play, but rest assured it's going to play a huge one. And I think it's going to open up some tremendous opportunities in investing. I mean, the last time that we saw this type of explosive growth, shy of during COVID and looking at the medical sector, was back in the late 90s. I mean, if you look back to 1995, nobody had an email address. And by the year 2000, the percentage of people that had an email address was staggering. And all of a sudden, people had computers in their homes. And now we're carrying phones in our pockets. But we haven't seen this completely new industry, which is what I consider AI to be, in a really, really long time.
Set up your free consultation with the Aptus team again by calling 614-917-1040, 614-917-1040. It's an open book. Go in, get all your questions answered, and you can also make your appointment online at Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. Again, if you're outside the area, yes, you can become an Aptus client. That's not a problem. But if you're in the area, they would prefer you come in and so that they can look across the table from you and communicate directly. Their offices are located in Lewis Center, 614-917-1040 to set it up, right off Route 750, not far from 23 and 270. You know, when you were talking about price-to-earnings ratio with some of these big technology companies, if people watch Shark Tank, they know that the price-to-earnings ratio is a big concern when the sharks sit there and try to evaluate a company. And the number that I think I'm right on this is that typically, you know, like for a startup company, or a company that has established proof of concept, typically maybe a factor of five. You know, you might be willing to pay five times earnings for a company. When you get these mammoth companies like Microsoft, as you're evaluating them, because, you know, I just said a minute ago, there are companies that are hot for a while and then go away, like Enron. How do you look at companies and make an assessment of them, whether they're part of a big chunk of a mutual fund that you may be recommending or evaluating? And how do you look at them as individual stocks for clients when they are interested, as to whether when those PE ratios get way above five, still a good deal, or whoa, warning sign here?
Yeah, it depends on the piece of the asset allocation that it fits in. So if we're looking at growth stocks, for example, which everybody should own at least a percentage of growth stocks, if you have any stock allocation whatsoever, growth stocks fall into that category of Microsoft, Tesla, NVIDIA, all of those. You're looking at those from one perspective, meaning what is the upside potential of that stock? How much market share do they already control? What is the kind of the barrier to entry to try and compete against them? But then when you're looking at value stocks, price to earnings ratios become much more important. So think of companies like Coca-Cola, Home Depot, Costco. Because what we're looking at there is really a cash cow of sorts that's just generating income all the time. Their growth is going to be not as significant in the way of explosivity or coming up with new things, but they're just going to be cash generators. So it's important, I think, not to try and time the market, but to decide based upon all the economic forecasts that we came up with and based upon price to earnings ratios, what looks most attractive and what percentage should I have in growth versus value, for example. And that's really the secret sauce, Bruce, is where do we lean in and where do we lean out? Well, if you have a lot of trepidation about the market today, and I'm not suggesting anybody does this, but now might be a time to lean more towards those value stocks as opposed to growth.
Yeah, and also, as you just mentioned, there are a lot of great guaranteed rates of return out there on CDs. We talked about treasuries in the past. We have hit on the headlines of the week and the outgrowth of those headlines. We're going to take a little bit longer view in the second half of this installment of the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show. We're going to do a check on where average Americans are in their retirement savings. What will happen when the Fed eventually cuts rates? What will that do across the economy? So there is a lot to come. Set up your free consultation, 614-917-1040. Back with more of the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show. Thank you for joining us here on the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show. I'm Bruce Hooley, along with Josh Pick of Aptus Wealth Management. We look forward to chatting with you for the next half hour of the program about your retirement. Are you saving? Are you investing? Investing much better than saving, but you have to save in order to invest. And they specialize in that at Aptus. They are fiduciaries, which means they are legally obligated to do what is best for you. Full disclosure, I'm an Aptus client, became one after knowing Josh for about 2.5 years. And he never put any pressure on me, never even brought it up. I brought up, hey, are we ever going to talk about how my family might fit into what you do at Aptus? So it is a no pressure environment, and they're very successful at what they do. My wife and I are very pleased. And what we gained from the Aptus Retirement Blueprint consultation was peace of mind, was our takeaway. But before we got the peace of mind, we got more knowledge, and knowledge is power. And certainly with something as important as your retirement, you do not want to mess it up. That's what motivated us to go in. We're not ready to retire, but we're getting close enough to it that we knew we couldn't afford a big mistake. Maybe you are there, or maybe you'd like to start out on solid footing. You're in your 30s, you're in your 40s. You realize, I haven't really prioritized this. Josh and his team can help you with that. So set up your free, no obligation consultation, 614-917-1040. 614-917-1040, or you can make your appointment online at Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. They're located in Lewis Center, just off Route 750. And it strikes me, Josh, that, you know, when Sherry and I thought about coming into you, we realized that we had to be intentional about our retirement savings. My parents had passed away, and it was a big concern for us as to whether or not their retirement savings, their retirement investments would be able to finance my mother's long-term care. I don't think that's something that my parents envisioned when they were investing in their retirement. And really, it's just another way of saying that people have to have a purpose for their savings and for their investments. One of the best-selling books of all time is Rick Warren's The Purpose-Driven Life. Well, for your life to have purpose, you know, it's a lot easier to do when you don't have financial concerns later on in life. Do you frame your conversations with people in terms of purpose and what the purpose of people's investments might be?
It's at the forefront of everything that we do. And the reason for that is I think oftentimes we get lost in what we're going to invest in because we don't necessarily know what we're investing for. We say we're investing for a rainy day, or we're investing for retirement, but we don't assign actual goals to that. Well, the market volatility, for example, that you're going to experience by putting your money in a portfolio of stocks is going to be tremendously concerning on an annual basis if you don't realize that this isn't money that you have to worry about for 20 years. You know, if you, and I'm going to reference back to the article that we talked about in the first segment, which, by the way, we send out articles like this all the time. If you're interested in getting in our newsletter, just shoot us an email at Aptus Wealth. You can go to our website, sign up for the newsletter, or send us an email, and we'll include you on the newsletter. It's usually helpful information in this segment of the of life that you're in. But it talks about how ignoring your retirement savings is very, very important. Matter of fact, the Harvard Endowment study did a study, and they said, what's the most important thing for the average investor to successfully have long-term results? And of course, it's Harvard, so they have to come up with a fancy way of saying, don't do anything, which is benign neglect, which means just ignore it, right? So there's a huge value in ignoring money as it relates to a 20-year term goal, and that's retirement, because your purpose is retirement. But if your purpose is an emergency fund, well, then it's a completely different investment vehicle. If your purpose is college planning, if your purpose is long-term care, we have to look at these things rather than saying, I don't like that type of investment. We have to say, does that type of investment fit and what I'm trying to accomplish. What is the purpose for it? And I assure you, stocks are not a good fit for emergency funds. Stocks are not necessarily the best fit for long-term care planning, for example. Long-term care planning, quite frankly, doesn't have a lot to do with investments at all. It has to do with estate planning, which is now we're talking about attorneys and accountants more than we are talking about financial products in most cases. So you have to decide what your purpose is and how could you possibly do that if you haven't done an actual financial plan?
Yeah. And the thing I just said, you know, knowledge is power. And you were talking about what some people would view as counterintuitive is that you ignore your investments. I know part of the blueprint process is setting up a time period where you confer with clients. Like, it's not like people come in, they meet with you, they become clients, and then you want them to never take stock, quote unquote, of their investments. I mean, there is an ideal evaluative period to look at what you were doing. Knowledge is power. Too much knowledge can sometimes be paralysis. You can always be reacting. You can get caught up in FOMO, fear of missing out, and all those kinds of things. So it might be instructive for you to outline in a little bit more detail as to what the blueprint process is so that people know and people have a little bit more information as to whether they want to make the call to your office, 614-917-1040, or whether they want to go online at aptuswealth.com and set up that. And as you begin your comments, I think a lot of people would be interested in getting that email update from you. Maybe start with where you would like them to email so that they can get on your email list.
Sure. If you go to aptuswealth.com, there is an area there where you can get on our email list, or there's to access more information. There's a tab where you can send us a quote. For that matter, feel free to just email info@aptuswealth.com and we'll get that as well. So there's plenty of ways to reach out to us. If none of those work, give our office a call, and somebody at the front desk will get you signed up for our newsletter. As far as the Aptus blueprint process, I think at the core, you have to think about that word. What's a blueprint? What's a process? And I think what we do there is we create a process that makes sure that we don't forget anything. We make sure that we cover all of the parts and pieces that are important to design an actual financial blueprint, not a cross your fingers, we'll call it a plan, but an actual actionable blueprint that you could, if you're building a house, you wouldn't write it on a napkin and wing it. You would have to, you know, go through a code process and make sure that the walls aren't going to fall down. Well, similarly, that's what we're doing here. So step one, very, very easy. We're just going to ask you a whole bunch of questions, some of which you've probably already thought of, some of which you probably haven't. We're going to take inventory of what you're currently doing and what you have up to this point. But beyond just the dollars and cents, what are you trying to accomplish? What are your goals? What are your fears? And what do you want that trajectory to look like? Because everybody's different. And I think we oftentimes say, well, you know, everybody's plan's different anecdotally. But it really is, because we all view things much differently. For example, your plan when you work with me might be one that's a heck of a lot more conservative than somebody your identical age with your identical amount of money. They just view the way that they want their money to work for them entirely differently. But once we gain that inventory in meeting two, we're going to analyze that information and spit back to you in a plan of sorts. What does the trajectory of your life look like? And maybe more importantly, what are some landmines that your retirement roadmap might have on it? And how are some ways that we can avoid that? And in that second meeting, we'll come to you with some ideas. And the purpose of those ideas aren't to say this is what we think you should do. It's more to get a reaction of how you feel about these ideas, because there's a bunch of different ways we can achieve the same result. And you could argue, well, if there's a one way to do finance, why don't you just do that for everybody if it makes the most sense? Again, emotions are an important part of finance. If they weren't, everybody would get the same rate of return every single year and invest in the same things, which they simply do not. So in that meeting, we'll learn a lot. And by the third meeting, we'll gain, I would say, at least 90 to 95% of the information to be able to lay out that actual blueprint. Here's what you should do. Here's how it's going to accomplish what you want it to accomplish. Here's all the things that you actually need to follow through on. And then this is the process on how we're going to follow up. We have yet to cover in that meeting long-term care. We have yet to cover full-fledged estate planning. We have yet to cover, well, how are we going to change this plan throughout time? And what does that process look like? What is a disciplined approach that would make us say, we want to get out of this thing and into the other? But we will continue to do that. So even after we go through the whole process, at the end of meeting number three, we're going to know, is this a good fit for both of us? If it's not, you've certainly learned a lot. If it is, then we'll move forward and we'll keep on meeting after that. How often? At least every 6 months, just like the dentist. We'll keep on meeting, make sure that our plan isn't going off the rails. But that doesn't mean that we're not looking at your plan all the time and managing your money all the time. We're just not managing it with emotion. We're managing it according to logic.
I think it's really interesting you mentioned the dentist there, because I know in my case, and it may be the same with people who are listening now, I viewed the dentist all throughout my life as like, I don't really look forward to going. This isn't going to be fun. I'm going to hear that, you know, I didn't floss enough. I didn't brush enough. I've got a cavity, whatever. And so, you know, I put it off longer than I should have. And then guess what happens? You go in and like, oh, okay. Instead of one cavity, you know, you have two or you have three. Retirement, I think a lot of people may like feel like they're going to come in, they're going to get beat up because, oh, you're behind on this or whatever. That's absolutely not what happens. And by the way, just like when you put off going to the dentist and you end up with more cavities than maybe the one you could have if you'd have gone in and got your teeth cleaned every 6 months, ignoring your retirement is very unlikely to make it better in the long term when you go in there. And just if I could take all our listeners behind the curtain a little bit, one of the things Josh didn't mention that I found and that my wife found from the consultation that we had during our blueprint conversations is that you can have very different views of retirement as your spouse. And that's one of the things that Sherry and I work through in this process, like true confession, like she believed very strongly that our house was a really good way for us to finance our kids' college education. My personal view of it was, hey, once I pay my house off, like I don't want to take another loan out on it and pay it off a second time. So these are things that you and your spouse need to talk about. And we found that it was much easier to have these conversations with a fiduciary like Josh sitting there who could offer his perspective and his knowledge. So that's another aspect of the blueprint process, Josh, is that I think you might share with people is that very often spouses come in with very different views of how they should be pursuing their retirement investments.
Yeah, and I think the only way you solve that is you have to somewhat strip out the emotions. So if I can be anything, it's kind of that neutral party that says, I appreciate where both of you are coming from, but let's kind of look at the dollars and cents of it. Does it make sense to pay? Well, in your scenario, for example, does it make sense? How are you going to get the loan out on your house? We'll just take a home equity loan. Was that a variable rate? Well, yes. What's the variable rate on that? What's this? Is there a way we can borrow money at a lower rate? And turns out there is. So what makes more sense? It's up to you. I mean, ultimately, the decision's up to you. But I think, and I'm not saying we ended up doing that, but I think the concept is the same. And I think oftentimes, too, you'll have a spouse scenario where one is the sky is falling spouse. And the other one is everything's always going to be rosy and peachy one way or the other spouse. So that's a very difficult bridge to cross. Why do we need to save money? It'll all work out. Well, why don't we save 100% of our money? Because it's all going to go gloom and doom. And the answer is probably somewhere in the middle. But you're never going to be able to convince either side of that unless you actually do the plan and the map to calculate to show graphically, well, here's your idea and here's your idea. And they're both ridiculous. So let's meet somewhere in the middle, right? But it's very, very difficult unless it's kind of punching you right in the face. And I'm not suggesting that I punch people right in the face, but I just let the information speak for itself.
Yeah, that's absolutely the way it works out. I mean, I'll give you a little bit more insight into it, folks, is that you'll end up with eventually a blueprint presented to you where it's like, okay, if we take this track, this is where we're headed. If we take this track, this is where we're headed. Here's the risk involved. Here's the risk involved. And it's an educational process. Your arm's not twisted when you walk out of there. Like, you're not forced to do anything. What I think happened with our situation is that we both evaluated the scenarios that Josh posed, and we both were in accord with this is the way that we want to proceed. And we certainly got a lot smarter about what the different investment vehicles are out there. There were investment vehicles that I didn't even know existed And so take advantage of the free consultation process. Get educated. Maybe you'll get the peace of mind. Maybe you'll end up a client. You certainly won't be any worse for wear from having the information. You can set that up, 614-917-1040, 614-917-1040. The retirement blueprint can also be, the process can begin by making your appointment online at Aptus Wealth, A-P-T-U-S, A-P-T-U-S, aptuswealth.com. Their offices are located in Lewis Center just off Route 750. We periodically do this, Josh, so let's do it again. You came across another survey this week of where people who are in that 55 to 65 age group are standing with their retirement savings. I think the numbers that you shared with me were the average American has around $280,000. The median, which would mean half above and half below, are at $88,000. And the really scary part about that is that 50% of people age 55 to 65 have no retirement savings at all. Maybe they're counting on Social Security, but that, as we've chatted before, is a retirement plan that is certainly in peril, with Social Security's longevity being not as promising as it was 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah, you know, I feel like a broken record saying this, but I think what I'm really trying to do is point people into starting early. I think we could come up with a myriad of reasons on why this might be true, ranging from I simply don't make enough money to save, all the way to talk to any 80-year-old, and they'll tell you that they can't believe that they're 80. Where did the time go, right? So I think, you know, one of the great, cruel tricks of life is when you're in your 20s, 30s, and 40s, you feel like life goes on for perpetuity. So why start now? There will always be tomorrow. And then you wake up one day and you're 55 going, I didn't do anything. I wish I would have done stuff a long time before. But they all point towards this problem, ultimately, where we believe that we can work forever if we have to. And statistics simply don't justify that. Roughly 30 to 40% of people retire sooner than they wanted to, or retire period. They never wanted to retire from forces or situations that they had no control over. Job displacement, health, taking care of somebody else in your family due to health. So not doing anything isn't really a plan. So then it kind of brings me back around, well, why aren't they doing anything? And why do the lowest savers in the United States historically put their money in the lowest return vehicles possible? And maybe it's a lack of education. Maybe it is a lack of purpose. Or maybe it's a general fear of the overall stock market. And I find that when I talk to people who are educated in this topic, and I talk to people who tend to be, you know, in that millionaire category, and you talk to them about the stock market, they say things like, while I understand I'm investing in the largest companies in the United States, and if they go belly up, well, then the whole United States goes belly up, so why wouldn't I invest in them? And I understand that it goes up and down, but over the long run, it's one of the best places I can be. Or I'm going to invest in this type of investment because it offers a higher rate of return than a checking account. And then when you talk to people that are in that kind of lower net worth category, it's usually, I'll never put my money in the stock market because I could lose it all. I don't trust XYZ because of XYZ. And I think all of that points towards a lack of education. So I implore everyone who's whatever age you are, whether you're 65 already wondering how the heck you're going to retire when you're 70 or if ever, because I hear that sometimes too. I'm on the never retire plan. So who cares? Still, you can, there's something to be said for having peace in your life financially and knowing that at minimum, you're insulated against losing your job and it taking you a few months to get the next one, to knowing that if you had to take care of a loved one, you could quit your job for a number of years. Take that responsibility and then go back and get a job later, all the way to I could lose my job today and never have to work again and be just fine. It's not about necessarily retirement. It's about the freedom that comes with being financially independent. And I just think it's so important that people at least get started, whether it's $10 a month or $10,000 a month, really doesn't matter.
Yeah. And, you know, for me, I'm a person that has, like, I feel like I want to be in charge of that. Like, I get peace of mind when I feel like I've done the things that I need to do to provide for those things that you talked about, long-term care or whatever. I think, you know, if you're a person in this list of people, half of whom have no retirement savings at all, They're counting on Social Security, or they're counting on some kind of a government program. And look, I mean, there are people out there who feel like the government should take care of them all the way through their life. I came across a story here with an economist named Teresa Gilarducci, who is outlining a program she calls the Gray New Deal. The Gray New Deal would be the government would take care of people that, hey, it's not your fault if you haven't saved. She says that our retirement, the way it's done out there now, is not really fair. And she says it's a public policy imperative that people who are funding their own retirement through 401k savings and sheer grit is not working. I differ with her on her approach to it, because I think that your success at Aptus on behalf of your clients, and the fact that the investment world is filled with fiduciaries who are legally obligated to do what's best for their clients, shows that the processes that you outline, the options that you give clients, certainly can make retirement savings a workable process.
Well, I think more importantly, I think it was Thomas Jefferson that said, a government that can give you anything can take away everything, or something to that effect. And I think that you're seeing more and more of these articles that are pointing towards essentially socialistic beliefs. And if you can point to one country in the world that has succeeded as a socialistic economy, please send me an email and let me know. If you can point to one program in the government that is well-funded and well-run, please send me an email and let me know. Because we're having problems with Social Security. We're talking about how are we going to continue the viability of Social Security, knowing full well that that trust fund of sorts is going to run out sometime in the early 2030s. And what we're seeing is economists doubling down on that and saying, well, the fix of the problem is just do more of it. And the wording, I think, is very important here, like the word entitled. And the only way you can live a dignified retirement is by the government providing it to you through another source of income. And the only way we can accomplish that is by higher and higher taxes. These things are all very fearful, I believe, in the economy. And that doesn't mean I'm just a pure capitalist who believes, you know, you're either on the right side or you get run over by any means. I think there's shades of gray in the middle. However, I don't think you can tax your way to prosperity. And I don't think you can enable your children or anybody into prosperity. And that's really what a lot of economists are starting to talk about. And if we look back 10 or 20 years ago, it's hard to find an article like this. It's hard to avoid them now. So that's a challenge, but I hope that doesn't give people this false sense of security that I don't have to do the right things, because there will be some sort of savior at the end of the tunnel that will solve all of my financial problems. And you know, you had said that you get a lot of pride or enjoyment out of doing the right things and feeling good about it. Well, I think we all could say that where is really happiness located? It's out of keeping promises to yourself, right? So by just simply crossing your fingers and hoping somebody handles the problems for you, you're certainly not doing that. And it leads to an unhappier life. I hate to get altruistic about the whole thing, but do the right things, learn the right pieces of information, seek out the right guidance, and your life will get better overall. This isn't just a financial conversation. It's a holistic conversation. We know that, you know, one of the top two reasons for divorce is financial reasons. So solve that problem and your life will be better.
Yeah, and I'm thankfully there still are people at the other end of the spectrum from this woman who advocates a Gray New Deal, Dave Ramsey among them. And I saw a story this week where Dave Ramsey's 7 steps for people who want to have a secure retirement. The number one step, work with a financial advisor. And that option is certainly open to you. That's what Josh is. He's a fiduciary, legally required to do what's best for you. Aptus Wealth Management, located in Lewis Center, just off Route 750. Call him, set up your consultation, 614-917-1040, aptuswealth.com. Josh, great to see you. Thanks for your time.
You as well. Thanks, Bruce.
Hey,
The airing of this program by this station is not an endorsement or recommendation by the station of the products or services discussed in the program. The station does not guarantee the results of any investments made by a listener to this program.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.